Please give careful attention now as we hear the reading of God's very word. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies 4 square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper like the city, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Lord, we are overwhelmed when we think of your majesty and your beauty. And Lord, surely this was a thrilling thing for the Apostle John to see and experience and write. Lord, we pray that you would come by your Spirit and that you would revive our hearts to hope in you, Lord Jesus. We walk by faith and not by human sight. And And so, Lord, give us eyes to see your beauty, Lord Jesus, and capture us anew this night. Lord, as we read at the end of Psalm 31, we pray that you would make us strong and that you would comfort our hearts and that you would revive us to hope in you. We thank you, O Lord, that you're at work in this fallen world, and we beg that you would come and open this passage of Scripture to us now as we see this glorious reminder of the bliss of heaven and that you are at work building your city and making your bride spotless and without blemish. Looking forward to that great day when you will come again and make all things perfect. Lord Jesus, we pray for your presence with us now. Write your word upon our hearts. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, as we began looking at this passage of Scripture, we are reminded that we are seeing the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also a city. It is the heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And the Lord describes for us this people of God that is his bride, that is his city, made out of living stones joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is made up of the people of God all through history. We see this reference to the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The people of God in both the Old and New Testament that are looking to Jesus Christ. And last Lord's Day, we ended basically talking about this great work that God Almighty is doing, claiming a bride for himself, building a city. Tonight we want to pick up where we left off in verse 15. And so you see now the size of this city described in verses 15 down through verse 17. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits. By human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. And so this city indeed is big. It is a cube. Its length and width and height are all the same measurement, 12,000 stadia. And that's approximately 1,500 miles. That is far bigger than the land of Palestine. Anywhere close to it. It is obviously not describing that portion of land. And then you'll notice also the wall is 144 cubits in height, 216 feet high approximately. That's a very high wall. And this city is described as an immense city. Now, what we want to do is look at a couple of passages previously in the book of Revelation to get an idea of why this immense measurement. And if you'll turn with me, first of all, to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And here we have the scene of heaven revealed to us. The curtain is pulled back. You see that in verse 1 of chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And then verse 1 of chapter 5, then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Just a continuation of what we see in chapter 4. And we see now this scene before the throne of Almighty God, a multitude of people praising the living God. Look in verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. In Revelation chapter 7, in verse 9, we have just a little glimpse now of the magnitude of the people now that are in view being joined to the Lamb. In verse 9 of Revelation 7, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Well, earlier in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, and if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 4, we see that the goal of God's saving purpose, his plan all along, was that it not just be one little place that would belong to the Lord. That this fallen, messed up world had a glorious future in store for it because of God's saving work in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Romans chapter 4 a reminder that Abraham is the father of all who believe, the father of God's people, whether we are Jew or Gentile. And we see in verse 13 of this passage, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Here we see that the promise was made to Abraham explicitly that the land of Palestine would belong to him and his descendants. But that was just the beginning of what the Lord had intended his mighty purposes to include. As we saw this morning in our call to worship from Isaiah chapter 49, Messiah was told it is too light a thing that the Father said you should be given to redeem Jacob and to bring Israel back to the Lord. I will make you a light to the nations that my salvation shall reach to the ends of the earth. And here in Romans chapter 4, we see that God's promise to Abraham about Palestine was just a beginning, and that that promise actually included this view that Messiah would come and he would claim the world. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The Great Commission itself, and if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, we see the main verb in verse 19, make disciples of all the nations. And so this is the task to which the church of the Lord Jesus has been assigned. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And who is the one who gave this commission? Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That is what is in view here in Revelation 21. This immense size of this city is far bigger than just Palestine, but is a reminder to us that to the ends of the earth, that is how big God's city is going to be built. And here we are on the other side of the globe, singing praises to our glorious Savior. Indeed, his name is the sweetest name the ear has ever heard. Also, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 2. This psalm is one of the most oft-quoted psalms, along with Psalm 110, in the whole of the New Testament. And in Psalm 2, we see that it is a vain thing that the kings of the earth are conspiring to overthrow Messiah and his reign. We see that in verse 1. What a comfort that is. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. And then the Son speaks, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Or another way of translating this last phrase, if his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And you'll notice up in verse 8, the son said, here's what the father told me. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. And so this measurement that we see here in Revelation 21 is this huge city, the city of God, the city of the heavenly Jerusalem that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12 last Lord's Day evening. A city that is made up of the living stones that we see and read about in 1 Peter chapter 2, joined to the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus. That's what gives us as stones life. And we are being fitted together for a holy temple where the Lord himself dwells. And we offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's this city. That's the bride that is in view here of Revelation chapter 21. Not only do we see this size reminding us of its immensity, that it will cover the entire earth, but notice in verse 19 and following, actually verse 18 and following, the incredible beauty of this city. And again, that brings us back now to this picture of the church, the people of God who are savingly joined to Jesus Christ being the bride of Christ. It is only fitting when you think about a bride, you think of one who is adorned for her bridegroom. And here we have now a description of the beauty of this city. Again, as we're going to see, this language is describing for us what God is doing, making us a people who are adorned with his glory, his beauty. Verse 18, the wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysosparse, the 11th jacinth, the 11th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. What a picture this is of the beauty of this city. Now it's fascinating when you go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. If you'll turn there with me, we see a passage that gives us insight into how this picture of jewels is used to describe the people of God, God's people who are redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 54, we see beginning in verse 1, sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess what? The nations. And so here again is this picture of this global work of God Almighty, transforming the world from a place of darkness and evil and rebellion to once again being a place where there is hope and life. Your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced, for you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more, for your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. So here's this picture of God's people of being married to the Lord. The Lord himself being the husband of his people. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your God. This is like the days of Noah to me, as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate and your gates of carbuncles and all your wall of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And so here's this analogy now of these amazing jewels that God's going to build his city out of these precious jewels. And what does he start talking about in the context of these jewels? Verse 18, his little children, his people. Your children shall be taught by the Lord. That's who makes up the city of God. It is the people of God, redeemed and joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his delight, to redeem us, to make us his jewels, his treasures. The last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, if you'll turn there with me, please. In the book of Malachi, the Lord describes the Messiah is going to come in chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. Talking about John the Baptist. He's going to prepare. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. And then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. And so these passages, we can see all of these threads. And you remember when we first started months ago going through the book of Revelation, we said that the book of Revelation is like an incredible tapestry, and that the Lord has taken all of these threads from all over the Bible, all of these images, these illustrations, these themes, and weaves them together in the book of Revelation to show us the beauty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have this picture of Messiah coming when he would come to redeem his people. What does he do? He purifies a people like a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And so here you see these themes of what's the city in Revelation made of? It's made of fine gold, pure gold, so that the city is transparent. That's how pure the gold is. How can gold get that pure? How could you and I ever have cleanness and purity? It is only because we are joined to the one who purchased our redemption, who he himself is the spotless, pure Lamb of God. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. What was the purpose of the city of God? It was, that's the place where God dwells. And then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Then we have this section of giving God his due. God's people acted as if they were the source of all of their wealth and riches in Malachi's day. And the Lord reminds them, nope. It is true in Moses' day, it's true in Malachi's day, it's true in this day, that it is the Lord who has given us everything we have. And of our financial and material possessions, we gladly offer and give to him his tithe, his tenth. And then offerings on top of that. Verse 6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse. For you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you, and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. And then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. And then once more you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve. And so who is God's treasured possession? It is his people. It is those who fear the Lord, those who are speaking one to another, those who are walking humbly with the living God. That is who these jewels are that we see in Revelation 21. Well, in verse 22 and following, what I want you to notice, the last thing we're going to look at in these verses tonight in Revelation 21 and 22, we've been reminded of the immensity of God's work, that it will cover the entire world. He is building a city. His bride is going to be from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. We've seen the beauty that she is adorned with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who refines us. It is His work, His saving presence. And the last thing that we see is just that, that the Lord Himself is the light for the city. The Lord Himself is the temple. The temple is the Lord. The Lamb and the Lord God are the temple. And we are joined to Him to be this city. Now, what is this referring to in terms of time? Are we talking about after the Lord Jesus comes and makes all things perfect? Or is this referring to now the Lord making a city and making it and perfecting it? Or is it a description of both? Well, I believe it is both. And why do we say that? Well, first of all, I want you to notice the references in these verses to the fact that the unclean are still present but are not permitted to partake and be a part of this amazing work. Look at and we're going to come back and look at a little bit more about these nations here in just a moment. But in verse 24, by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false. There are wicked people still present, but they can't participate in the building of this city or be present in its existence. But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then it's even more striking in the next a picture that is given to us of the city of God. Look at chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for what? The healing of the nations. In heaven, there's not going to be any sickness or death or sorrow. There will be nothing needing to be healed from. But here we see that this river is flowing and that the nations come and eat of the fruit so that they may be healed. If you'll turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel chapter 47, one of the visions that God showed his prophet Ezekiel, and this is what we'll end with this evening. We'll pick it back up here again next week. But I want you to see this Old Testament backdrop of this prophecy of the work of Messiah. In Ezekiel chapter 47, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. And so there's this little trickle of water that is flowing from the altar of God. Verse 2, then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side, going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand. The man measured 1,000 cubits. And then he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000. And he led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other, and he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. And when the waters flow into the sea, the water will become fresh. Now, if you know anything about the geography of Jerusalem, and you have the Jordan River flowing, and it flows down, there is a sea below called the Dead Sea. And here is this striking picture of this river flowing from Jerusalem, but wherever it flows, guess what? It transforms barren desert, wasteland, and a dead sea into water that becomes fresh. Verse 9, and wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Gallim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea, like the Mediterranean. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month. Because the water for them flows from the sanctuary, their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. And so this prophecy that God gave of the coming of Messiah, he's the river of life. And that's why this city has life. The city has the light of God's presence. This city has the living water. This city is privileged. The citizens are privileged to eat of the tree of life, to feed upon the Lord Jesus, to believe in his gospel, and have healing. Now, all of this, of course, is something that the Lord is giving and showing in history. The day will come and he will bring everything to perfection. But until that day, the river goes forth. Well, we'll stop there tonight. Praise God that God has made us a people who are dispelled from darkness. Praise God that he has made us to be those who have the privilege of drinking of the river of living water. If you have time this week, I would encourage you to read John chapter 7. And I want you to notice this theme of living water that we're going to look at in greater detail next Lord's Day. The Lord himself is the light. We're going to look at this theme of the Lord being the light. And we have a taste of these things now in history. God is building his city. He is growing his bride and making her not only expand in the extent of the Lord's saving work, but making his people beautiful, clothing us with his perfect righteousness. Praise God. In the midst of all the chaos and brokenness and turmoil, there is hope in Jesus. That's the message of the book of Revelation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have a bride that you love, and that, Lord, you are joining men and women and boys and girls to you, the living Savior, and making us part of your bride. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are building a city, the heavenly Jerusalem. And we thank you, O Lord, that it is a huge city that stretches all over the globe. We thank you, O Lord, that it is a city that you are making beautiful. And we think of that passage in Ephesians chapter 5 where you describe how you are taking your word by your blessed Holy Spirit and cleansing and purifying your bride so that when you come again in glory, you will present your bride to yourself in all her glory without spot or wrinkle or blemish. We delight, O Lord, to give ourselves anew to you this night. Lord, we glory to be yours, and we delight in you. We pray that you would bless us this week to drink deeply of you, not just this day, but all through this week. And that, Lord, your saving presence, your gospel, your promises indeed would be healing for us all through this week. Lord God, we beg that you would have mercy upon the nations of the world in our day to lay down their foolish, futile war against you. And Lord, we long for the day when you will come again in glory and make all things perfect. Until that day, Lord, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we delight, Lord, for you to take us and use us for your praise. Even this week, O Lord, thank you for this portion of your holy word that is given to revive our hearts to hope in you. In Jesus we pray, amen.